The number one basketball team in the country continues to prove it. This is a brand new Village Vice. He is Zach Blackerby. I am Brad Law. Thank you very much for watching.
Woo!
And subscribing. If you haven't done it, we're on our way to 7K. You could be the 7,000th subscriber. That'd be really awesome if you did that. Check it out. Just subscribe to the channel. So Auburn beats Arkansas by 7, and they score 67 points. And I'm thrilled with a three-possession win over Arkansas and John Calipari and a really talented, big, physical backcourt that caused Auburn problems for about 30 minutes of the game. Thrilled with it. I'm not reserved. I'm not yet, but I'm not. I got no breaks on this whatsoever. Nothing.
I agree with you. Was it pretty? No. Did Auburn play one of their worst games of the season? Yes.
Okay.
But you won. You won. And yeah. we talked about this, and I saw it everywhere, and I agreed. Like, there was a lot about Wednesday night's matchup, easy for you to say, that screamed like, hey, this could be a problem. I mean, massive historic win. Can you come back down to earth, and what does that look like? I thought that would kind of have to happen in the first 10 minutes and then Auburn would adjust. That wasn't what happened. It was like the middle 10 minutes of the second half where Arkansas was really like, hey, let's cook. But who cares? They found a way to win. They're not all going to be pretty. You found a way to win shooting 40% from the floor.
Most of them, I would argue, Zach, especially after Auburn took over the mantle of number one in the country, most of them aren't going to be pretty. The Mississippi State and Oklahoma games are the exceptions to the rule. You're the number one team in the country. And here's what that means.
Yeah.
When you play a Wednesday game and your opponent played on Saturday, it means as soon as their game ends on Saturday, the most important thing in their world is preparing for you.
Well, and I think that context is important also because, I mean, the TV broadcast said it over and over and over again, Brad. Yeah. Arkansas's on the bubble. Arkansas's on the bubble. If they get this win, I mean, what a resume boosting situation it does for them. And he's probably right. I think Arkansas is probably in, you know, Joe Lunardi's next bracketology update if they would have won, but they didn't.
Yeah, this is the stratosphere Auburn is in right now with this team. They're so good that if they're not mind-blowing spectacular, you feel like they weren't at their best. If they're not mind-blowing spectacular. So Jahni Broome goes out and gets another double-double. Mm-hmm. And in the closing comments, Jay Williams and the TV crew talking about how he just had sort of he wasn't really that big a factor. My man, he scored 20% of the points.
That's a take right there.
Kind of an ordinary game. Yeah, a double-double in the SEC is ordinary. It is for Jahni Broome. It is. It is ordinary for Jahni Broome, the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, that's a crazy take. And then, you know, you look at what Big Z did on the other side of it, and he was solid defensively. I mean, he had a bunch of really impressive blocks.
Yeah.
But he played 30 minutes. He was 0 for 10 from the floor.
And some of those shots were, I mean, real bad, ugly shots.
Yeah, and, you know, Jahni was on him, you know, a fair amount of the game. So like, to say Jahni Broome didn't have an impact, we've talked about this before. Like, nobody, if Cooper Flagg has that stat line, nobody's like, oh, yeah, Cooper Flagg, you know, didn't have an impact on the game. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Get in a game that was lower scoring than pretty much everyone predicted, he led the way, and like you said, scored like a quarter of the points. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. But that's my point. Auburn has hit that level. They've separated themselves so far from everybody else that if they don't just knock your socks off, you think they've just had a run-of-the-mill, workmanlike game. And that couldn't be further from the truth. They're going to play Georgia Saturday. Did Georgia play Tuesday or did they play? They didn't play last night, so I guess they played Tuesday. It means as soon as that game ended Tuesday.
Yeah.
All of Georgia's attention. And that's why Arkansas played so close last night. Arkansas's playing for a tournament berth. Arkansas's playing for a Hall of Fame national championship coach. And as soon as their last game ended, they were focused on Auburn. They want to be the ones to knock off number one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why the rest of the way you're going to get games like this. Maybe Auburn blows out Georgia. Maybe they don't. I think those blowouts where Auburn gets on a, you know, 15-point run at the beginning of the game, kind of like Missouri did last night over Alabama.
Right.
I think those are few and far between when you get to the level that Auburn is. They're just going to get everybody's powerhouse best.
Yes. And I love that you bring that up because, once again, I feel like we've said context several times here. I mean, this is such a different world than we've lived in mm-hmm. before. I mean, Auburn's had really good basketball teams, and they've been number one. They're number one a few years ago for, it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, nearly what we're dealing with now. It is a different world to be the hunted, not the hunter, because the other times where Auburn's been a top 10 team, we've been able to do the whole that, well, we're going to prove them wrong. We're still underranked. You know, we're a top one or two teams. Now Auburn is the standard.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody else is trying to get to. And it's just, it's a different world. You can't compare this team to other things you've seen watching Auburn basketball. It's a different territory now.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's different. And we've talked all year long about how there's not really a deficiency with this team. They continue to prove that by winning all manner of different style games. I love something that BP said after the Alabama game. And before the game, he talked about prepare like the number one team. Act like the number one team. That's a positive. The language is positive and progressive. It's not defensive. It's offensive. It's not be careful not to slip up. You're the hunted. You're the prey. They're all coming after you. It's no, be the number one team. What are things the number one team does? Do those things.
Pressure is a privilege.
Yep.
And there is pressure on every single Auburn Tiger. There is pressure on every player. There's pressure on Bruce Pearl and his coaching staff. There's pressure to stay at number one. That's why it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be the number one team in the country. Yeah. And the fact that you keep finding ways to win, even when you maybe don't play like the number one team in the country, it doesn't matter. You find ways to win, and that's what great basketball teams do, and this is a great basketball team.
It is. It's an historically elite basketball team.
You're historically elite.
You're historically elite. Can I tell you something? Yeah, can I tell you something that was not Auburn related that I thought was fairly – there's a small Auburn connection. I just enjoyed the – I enjoy irony from time to time.
Okay.
So – Saturday, the Alabama coach got on the microphone because people threw full beer cans onto the floor. And he said, hey, knock it off. And the way he condescended and just talked down to the people, you know, hey, knock it off. We're trying to win a basketball game. Don't be throwing stuff on the floor and costing us points. That coach last night at Missouri threw something on the floor,
got a
tech, and cost him points.
Yikes.
The very next game. I mean, the next game. Mm-hmm. That's rich. That's a big old double scoop of rich right there. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thought our audience might like to delve into that richness for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hadn't seen it really talked about very much.
Can you imagine if Bruce Pearl punched a whiteboard?
Yeah.
Just be everywhere.
Just hadn't seen that talked about a whole lot in traditional media. So
yeah, it is weird. Like it was Auburn earlier this year. They're playing Tennessee, and Rick Barnes just throws a cup of water on the floor.
Yeah,
and nothing happened.
Yeah,
what is going on?
Yeah, it's almost
what is going on. But like, if Bruce Pearl does anything, oh my gosh!
Sure,
it's crazy. Yeah. The double standard is a very real thing.
Oh, it's incredibly real. Auburn players right here getting technicals for smiling and holding their jersey up.
Baker Mazzara has done so many questionable things this year. And I don't disagree with most of the texts that have been put on him.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that, like, maybe he should have been punished more for. I don't know. The tech against Arkansas, that was ridiculous. And I don't care that you gave him a warning beforehand or whatever. I don't care. I don't care. That was soft.
It was soft. He did get a warning, and that's why he got it. But, man, I say this, too, about the official. If you let a push go earlier in the game, you have then set the standard on what you're going to call and what you're not going to call.
And they let him play last night.
Oh, they really did.
I didn't have an issue with, I mean, both sides were just getting mauled under the basket.
What I thought was interesting, and this is totally tongue-in-cheek, but this goes to the coaching ability of John Calipari. Arkansas didn't commit a foul in the second half for about the first 13 and a half minutes of the second half.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, they committed 7 fouls in 6 minutes.
Right.
That's just amazing coaching that they can go that long without fouling. Seriously, with the officials, just for the good of the game. This isn't, I'm trying to be, I don't know anything about officiating basketball, but for the good of the game, if I tried to, say, broadcast 3 or 4 separate neutral games, not teams that I follow all the time,
sure,
3 or 4 separate neutral games a week, I wouldn't be at the top of my game. I couldn't do justice to those players and coaches and fans. Couldn't do it. For the good of the game.
Thing? Is that the same thing, though?
I think there's more. I think those guys are taxed more because they're traveling. They've got their post-game protocol, their pre-game protocol, their reports to file,
it's their
all
job.
That stuff.
It's their job. They don't like doing. You might need to do a little bit of prep of, like, which I'm sure they're being told, like, hey, you know, Jani Broome's going to, number 4 in Auburn's going to talk a lot to you. Hey, number 10, like, keep an eye out for them. Like, I'm sure they've got their shared notes or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like you're doing a broadcast where you've got to, like, learn it, like, the whole roster and everybody's names and their hometowns and create a board and all that. Like, I do think it's different.
But fine. So it's not apples to apples, but I don't think it's apples to desks. Like, I think if you're doing 3 or 4 games a week, by the time you get to that 3rd or 4th game, you're just not as dialed in. You're not as fresh. There's no, like, it's just not logical. It's not reasonable to go 13 minutes without a foul and then commit a foul a minute for the rest of the game. Like, that doesn't, it's not logical. And perception is reality. And for the good of the game, you know, you would think you would want to do something about it for the good of the game. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. And in most cases, I know it's really fun to say, like, the refs are trash or whatever. And, like, I disagree with them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think in most cases, it's consistently inconsistent both ways. Like, I don't think Auburn's getting screwed in a lot of these games.
No, nobody's just happy.
Yeah, which if no one's happy, like, is that the goal? Like, is that good?
Right.
Because I don't think there's a situation where both sides are happy. So do you just make both sides unhappy and that's the goal?
Yeah. College basketball officiating is like commercial air travel. Nobody's happy. Everybody gripes about it. You feel like you're getting worked over the entire time, but what are you going to do about it? Stop? No. You know?
So, there are some people that just, like, love a certain brand of airliner no matter what. No matter what. Like, there are some people that just, like, it doesn't matter if their bags get wrecked. It's like, I think Southwest wanted my bag to get mutilated. Like, I think that's okay. Like, there are people that just love Southwest. There's people that just love Delta.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't understand it. Commercial air travel is another rant for another day, but they herd you through there like cattle, and they think you should just, you know, be thanking them for every bit of inconvenience they throw at you.
That's right.
But what are you going to do? Not fly?
Correct.
You know, they got you.
Right. Oh, they got you good.
They don't even have decency to give you a decent sandwich on the plane. You know?
Best local sandwich is what? Or best sandwich chain is what?
Sandwich chain.
Sure.
Oh, this is tough. We need somebody to sponsor the show so I can say them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sponsors, hey, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Roback. Roback.com. I'm wearing it. The Me performance too. Hoodie. You're wearing it too?
I'm wearing it too. I got it on.
Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see it. Work for it. Work for it. 3, 2.
Bam.
There it is. Saw it just for a second there. Wow. Thank you for working so hard. Thank you so much. Roback.com. They'll work for you. They'll work for you. In fact, they've already done the work. They've created so many different elite patterns and comfortable style of clothes and apparel, whether it's the performance hoodie like I'm wearing, whether it's a collared shirt like Bradlaugh. Is he real? What he's wearing, as well as the quarter zips, hats, and more. Head over to Roback.com and use promo code VICE20, VICE20, VICE20 for 20% off your order at Roback.com.
I miss Quiznos. I wish we still had Quiznos. I wish anybody.
Quiznos still is shut down across.
I don't know of one. I mean, I haven't seen one in a decade or more, but I miss it terribly. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a firehouse. I don't mind a. I don't mind a standard Subway now either.
Well, I did some work the other day.
I know you did
some work the other day. I posted this. Top chain sandwich spots. I got Jersey Mike's at one, Publix at two, Witch at three, which I miss having a Witch in town.
Yeah, I do.
Jimmy
too.
John's at four. So fast you'll freak. And then I got Subway at five.
I would switch Publix and Subway, I think.
Really? Wow. You'd get a lot of pushback from that. Get ready for that to be a big chunk of the comment section today.
Probably. I think the Publix sub is fine. It's fine.
I think it's pretty good.
It's way too much bread. It's way too much bread. Okay. The bread is that thick and the sandwich is that thick.
What kind of sub are you getting at Publix? Are you getting a deli sub?
Yeah, I've had like the turkey bacon oven roast one.
Maybe if you do the chicken Italian finger out, I think your experience would change.
Okay. I had the Italian too, and it was same bread. And it scratches the crap out of the roof of my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
that's my experience.
No,
I guess I'm the only one who ever had that experience at Publix.
The bread scratched your mouth?
Yeah. Roof of the mouth. Tears it up.
When you eat chicken fingers, does it mess your mouth up?
No.
Any other foods really mess your mouth up? Or just the bread at Publix?
Kettle cooked potato chips do that. They just shred the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
You never had that experience? You've never had a food shred the roof of your mouth? What, have you been eating bananas and nothing else your whole life?
I'm trying to think of a food that just really messes my mouth up from a texture standpoint.
Yeah. And I'm talking about hot stuff. I'm not talking about like when the pizza's so hot.
Talking texture.
All. Right.
Do you have a hard time eating crust of the pizza? When you get to the end of your slice, you're like, oh my gosh, my mouth is about to go through it.
I don't like to eat just the crust by itself, so I typically just toss it onto the tray.
No way.
But
you
it's not
finish
a
piece
thing.
Of pizza?
I finish the pizza. I leave the crust. There's a difference between the pizza.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's different. It's different.
You don't eat the crust of a piece of pizza?
Usually not. Yeah.
So you don't finish the slice of pizza?
I finish the slice of pizza. I leave the crust.
No, they're together. It's not two separate things.
No, it's not. It's called two separate things. It's called two separate things.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Do you eat the crust there?
Yeah, sure.
Is the crust part of the sandwich or is it separate?
It's part of it.
Okay.
But a pizza is not a sandwich.
Sure, it's not. You're right.
Pizza's a pie.
But the logic is still the same. The crust to the rest of the part of it is the same.
No, that's not bizarre. I'm not out there. I'm not on a different planet with that.
There will be no other person that agrees with you.
Oh, that's not true.
There's some stuff where it's like, okay, this might be 80-20. And sometimes I'm in the 20. There is no one else that will agree with you.
No, there'll be a bunch.
Not one person that'll agree with you that a slice of pizza and the crust are two different things.
Let me tell you what
I don't
want to
do another show with you right now.
Yeah, oh, stop.
That
it.
Is the
dramatic.
Weirdest thing ever.
No, it's not. Can I tell you the weirdest thing I do with pizza? This is legitimately weird. The other's not weird at all.
No, you can't tell me.
Okay. All right.
Tell me.
No, I'll just leave it. I'll leave it alone.
Nope, you win. I bit. I shouldn't have said that. Tell me.
I will take a piece of pizza and I will cut the crust off of it and eat it backwards. I'll start with the part that was closest to the crust first so that the last bite is that little tiny triangle that was in the middle, because the middle of the pizza is the tastiest part of the pizza.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
That's not as weird to you as just leaving the crust?
No, that's weird.
Okay.
The eating it backwards is weird, but I do agree that the small part of the slice is the best part. It's the best bite. I agree with that.
So I save it for last. And then I get to do that, you know, six times or however many, you know,
whatever. How many slices you have.
Sure. Right. There you go. Pizza theology on the show today.
My goodness. You think the crust and the pizza are two different things?
I don't think that if you leave the crust, you're not finishing the slice of pizza. I think you're leaving the crust. just like if you eat,
hey, so it's such a weird way to think about things.
When you eat a piece of fried chicken, do you eat the bone?
It's not meant to be eaten. The crust bone, is meant to be eaten.
The bone is the structure that carries the meat. It's the vessel for the meat. The crust is the vessel for the
one
pizza.
Is edible and one isn't. That is not the same thing. That's not the same thing at all. It's the
closest I could come up with. It's edible for animals. Animals eat.
Let's save the receiver question for another time.
I think we probably should.
Today's show is done.
I think we probably should.
Is Brad Law real? No! No, he's not. Auburn baseball winning their two midweeks. That was exciting.
It was. Yeah, and got some really good pitching. I'm telling you, Alvarez. Andreas Alvarez was filthy against North Alabama Wednesday night.
Do you think the ninth inning is not part of the baseball game?
It's different. You're comparing apples to television sets.
It's ridiculous.
And Jet Johnston was really good, too. He had a slider that was very impressive.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it on the Barn Baseball Show, by the way. It's on the same YouTube channel.
It is. It is. You, Lindsey Crosby, Sonny D, former SEC Player of the Year, saw him out at Byron's. He was killing some breakfast food earlier this week. Love that for Sonny. Absolutely love it.
He's got a long road trip coming up, getting ready for the minor league season.
See, out in Arizona?
Okay. Will be. Yeah.
Got it. All right. That does it for today's show. So sorry that y'all had to hear that pizza take by Brad Law.
Yeah, we got off track just a little bit there. That's okay. We'll be back on track soon. Thanks for watching. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for subscribing. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.